And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news and a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Lots of news. Got to get right in. Well, before I get into it, I said there's lots and I got to get right into it. But, man, are you going to post those pictures on Facebook that you just texted to me, Nicole?
Well, I did already on my personal page, but...
Well, put them on the show page.
Okay. Okay.
Nicole spent the weekend hugging piglets.
And riding horses.
And riding horses.
And, you know, I did post those pictures on my personal page, and everyone... I had multiple people... Oh, and on my Instagram as well, and multiple listeners told me that I need to be getting someone from Yellowstone on again as the new season is premiering soon. And I said, yes, I agree, and I need Dory to watch it.
Is that the Kevin Costner show?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Let's get Kevin back on. He was a great guest.
I will try for sure, but there, I would get any of those characters on. I mean, once you get into that show, Dory, you're going to love
but
it.
Get Kevin again, and I'll watch the show before the interview. That'll be my, I'll do one of those binge-watching things.
Oh, yeah, it'll take you a few days.
Will it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's getting back on. Okay. But yeah, so Nicole was hugging piglets, and piglets are just
so
unbearably cute. And then they become so hideously ugly as adults.
Yeah, I know, after a few weeks. Those the ones in the picture, I think, are 3 weeks old. So it doesn't take long for them to get gigantic and not quite as cute.
Piglets and I have a lot in common. I was kind of a cute teenager. And even into my early 20s, I was kind of a cute guy. But then, look at me now. It's awful. I'm a piglet. No, I'm a pig. I used to be a piglet.
Well, you know.
Okay. All right. Now, yeah, let's get into the Fast 15 here. So the big controversy.
I mean, no, you're not.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. Jeez. That's why I moved on with such dispatch. Okay, big controversy on the King County Council. Kathy Lambert is running for re-election, and she's running against a woman that she says has socialist, Marxist tendencies. And we already have one King County councilman like that, Girme Zahildai. And so Kathy Lambert, this is really stupid, but her consultant out of California sent out a flyer, and it showed Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris and what's her name? What's her name on the Seattle City Council? The Marxist. What can I think of her name?
Wait, Sawant?
Sawant, yeah, thank you. So I was thinking about me being a pig. We got Sawant, you got Bernie Sanders, you got Kamala Harris, and then this Girme Zahildai. And he is holding puppeteers, you know, that kind of that cross wood and the strings, and controlling this woman who wants to be on the King County Council opposite Kathy Lambert. Well, immediately people said, well, since you are showing the black councilman as controlling the puppet, that's racist. And at first, Kathy Lambert was saying, no, it's not racist at all. She talked to ComoNews.com, and she said, of course it's not racist.
I wrote a book on Martin Luther King. I've done work in Africa, and I have children that are minorities.
And she says that people always call you a racist if they want to just distract and if they want to change the messaging.
They're turning the message from what they don't want to be talking about, how they're contributing to crime and to homelessness. And they want to talk about always it's racism. If you don't agree with them, it's racism.
Okay, so that's Kathy Lambert on ComoNews.com. Then she called in to the Tom and Curly show on Friday after I got off the air, and she was singing an entirely different tune and says that she's devastated that people are calling her a racist now.
Well, it was devastating because, you know, people who know me know that that's not accurate. I mean, they could have called me fat or they could have called me something, you know, that I could go, okay, well, I can get that. But that's not me. And so it was very hard. And I will tell you, my husband and I have not slept for 2 days. So, yeah, it was very hard. And I know that it brought pain to many people, and that brings me pain. And as you said, I'm working 16, 18 hours a day, 6 days a week, and because I love serving my people.
And yet she did say, yeah, I'm not a racist. That's not me. But my opponent is now trying to make me out to be a racist, and so...
And I just want to reiterate that I am so sorry. And, you know, I feel humbled. I feel apologetic.
Yeah.
And so I hope that people, you know, that I hope that people know that when you're an elected official, you're under scrutiny. And I've been under scrutiny for 27 years. Mm-hmm. And this is the first major screw-up. And so... I'm hoping that that doesn't negate 27 years of service.
So she was very apologetic for this flyer that went out. And look, I'm not a politician. I don't know all the spin that they engage in. But I think you could easily make a case against Guillerme Zahildi that has nothing to do with him, his race. He is somebody who has defended some of the worst criminals in our midst. And so I was surprised when Kathy Lambert did a 180 and said that she's very apologetic and she's firing the California consultant that put out that flyer, because she could have just moved on. But instead she says, oh, no, I'm sorry, which gives validation. And I don't know Kathy Lambert well. I've never seen anything that would suggest she's a racist. But when she apologizes and she's firing the firm and all of that, it would suggest she has something legitimate to apologize for. And I think a better strategy would have been, look, I'm going after my colleague, not because he's black, but because he's a dangerous person. And I'll give you an example. Do you remember about a year ago when there was a march on Queen Anne Hill and a homeowner came out of his house? And he had never seen a march like this down his street, so he started video recording it. And that's when a couple people in the march came over. One of them had a halfy flashlight, cracked this homeowner over the skull. He had to be rushed to the hospital. And King County Councilman Guillerme Zahildi defended the guy who committed the assault.
My name is Guillerme Zahildi. I'm a King County Council member representing District 2. I'm here to speak on behalf of Tristan Spears. I ask this court, Your Honor, and prosecutors to please drop all charges and release this young man as soon as possible. Tristan, or True as his friends call him, is a family man with 4 children, a wife, and deep roots in his community, a community that he has been committed to improving. True has already escaped our criminal legal systems before, and he's been doing good work for a long time. He has a great job fighting for affordable housing for those less fortunate. He goes to Olympia to advocate to our state legislature on a number of causes. He's regularly marching through my district for justice. He regularly puts his life and health on the line to make sure our region extends dignity and justice to all.
So I said last year that was a horrible position for a King County councilman to take, to suggest that somebody who committed an assault and sent a homeowner to the hospital with a concussion and needing stitches, that's a reprehensible position. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with the fact that Guillerme Zahildi is black. It has everything to do with the fact that he defends people who have committed or were alleged to have committed assault. And that should not be tolerated in our region, that sort of violent crime. And yet he seemed to have no problem with the guy who was accused of cracking a homeowner over the skull with a heavy flashlight. So I honestly don't know why Kathy Lambert didn't just go after that and say, okay, he's not a puppet master racist, but he is somebody who has defended some really bad people in our society and in our news machine. That's what Kathy Lambert should have done, but she didn't. Next up in the Fastest 15, back in Washington, D.C., Pranila Jayapal, who somehow has become one of the leading voices in Congress from our state because she is a radically left-wing person, but she's in charge of a couple of committees, and she was asked, she said that she wants to make it sure that we prosecute all the January 6th people who went into the Capitol because, as she put it, she was there at the time and they were trying to kill us. She claims.
I was in the gallery. I was trapped in the gallery as insurrectionists were pounding on the door, trying to find us to kill us, trying to find Mike Pence to kill him and Nancy Pelosi. It's stunning to me that people think that this didn't happen, that it was a setup, that it was a deep fake conspiracy, theory thing. I don't even know how to describe the disconnect between the facts and sort of how people are thinking about it. And I blame Donald Trump, of course, but I also blame the Republicans right now in Congress who know much better, who were running for their lives, protected by Capitol Police on January 6th, and yet now refuse to actually say that it happened or to say to Donald Trump, you cannot be the leader of our party anymore.
You know, Pranila Jayapal, she says a bunch of stuff, and the far left-wing media doesn't challenge her on it, and she won't come on my show anymore. She used to, but once she realized that I was going to challenge her with facts. Fact is a four-letter F-word that politicians hate. And she says that they were trying to kill her. Well, there's no evidence of that. And then she said, and there are a bunch of people who are trying to deny that it ever happened. I have never heard one soul deny that January 6th happened. Of course it happened. And of course everybody acknowledges it. But she is just trying to suggest now that her life was in danger, Mike Pence's life was in danger, Donald Trump's supporters shouldn't ever say anything about that event without condemning it. And man, she just went on and on and on, Pranila Jayapal did.
This is a moment of crisis for our country and our democracy. It is also a moment of real reckoning for the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Who are they going to be? Just Donald Trump's party or the party of the big lie or actually standing up, perhaps for different policy ideals, but ultimately standing up for democracy? And I think that's frankly a terrifying thought to me.
Pranila Jayapal saying that her life was in danger, even though there's no video to back that up. They might have been scared, but there's nothing to suggest their lives were in danger. But she blames Donald Trump for all of it, of course. I would love to ask her questions about all of this. I wish she would come on the show like she used to back in the olden days. Next up in the Fastest 15. Oh, finally, I have some good news for you today. Remember a couple months ago when we were told by Dr. Fauci that Christmas, probably is not going to happen this year.
We can gather for Christmas, or it's just too soon to tell?
You know, Margaret, it's just too soon to tell. We've just got to concentrating on continuing to get those numbers down and not try to jump ahead by weeks or months and say what we're going to do at a particular time.
Okay, so according to Dr. Fauci, too soon to tell if we can have Christmas. But that was a couple of weeks ago. But he did over the weekend say on CNN that Halloween will be allowed this year. Yay!
Wondering how to trick or treat. Do they hand out candy? Do they walk around with their children? What's your guidance?
I think that particularly if you're vaccinated, but you can get out there. You're outdoors for the most part, at least when my children were out there doing trick or treating. And enjoy it. I mean, this is a time that children love. It's a very important part of the year for children. I know my children enjoyed it. So, I mean, again, particularly if you're vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, again, think about it, that you'll add an extra degree of protection to yourself and your children and your family and your community. So it's a good time to reflect on why it's important to get vaccinated. But go out there and enjoy Halloween as well as the other holidays that will be coming up.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Fauci. You took away Christmas, but Halloween, you're allowing us to have. That is so cool of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Dr. Fauci. You're the best. And then let's take you to Wyoming, where a girl has been arrested and placed on, the school was placed on lockdown, and the girl was arrested because she was not wearing a mask at school.
So you're still refusing to leave?
Yes, sir.
Even after you're receiving your citation?
Yes, sir.
All right. Then at this point, I am going to place you into custody for trespassing.
Okay.
Go down to the jail. How's that sound?
All right.
All right. No, you have a shoulder issue, right? You can leave it in there.
Oh, no, it's okay. I can take it out. I can go back.
You can leave your hand out.
Put it in front.
All right.
Yep. I'm not going to put your hands behind your back.
Oh, he's not going to put her hands behind her back. He handcuffed her in front. That's compassion there. So school placed on lockdown and girl arrested because she didn't wear a mask. And this gets back to what we were talking about at the beginning here. Have you even noticed how far and how fast our rights have disappeared? And I mentioned last week, I went to the grocery store and I just forgot to bring a mask again. I've gotten used to the no mask if you're vaccinated scene. But I was riding my bike. I didn't stuff a mask into my pocket. It would have gotten all sweaty anyway in my pocket. But I went to the grocery store. I was walking my bike through the store. And all of a sudden, the store manager is, you know, putting his hand to his face. Goes, do you have a mask? Do you have a mask? And I really like this guy. But I said, no, man, I'm sorry, I forgot. I really wasn't trying to make some political point or statement. I just simply forgot. And for that, kids, I mean, I don't know what her reason was for not wearing a mask. But we've got people who are getting arrested around the country. We've got people who just are not being allowed to live their life. And the question persists. If the vaccine is so effective, why do we still have to wear a mask? Serious question. If the vaccine is supposed to protect us from getting COVID, then why do we still need to wear a mask when we are indoors in any public place? Try to answer that for me, would you? You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476, and just explain why belt and suspenders we have to wear a mask even after we've been vaccinated. It suggests that either the vaccination is no good, or the vax, or the mask, I should say, is much, much, much better than the vax. It's pretty sick and sad, man, I tell you. All right, next up in the Fast 15. Oh, there's a good story here. Gavin, oh, I got to save the story. I didn't realize how late I am on time because I'm gonna talk in the next segment with Mike Solon from the Seattle Police Guild. Okay, quick timeout. I'll save this great story for the big lead at 2. Good catch, Sean. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast stories, Fastest 15.
Okay, so what is behind this police officer mass firing that Jay Inslee, Jenny Durkin, Dow Constein want to push forward next Monday? We'll talk to the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, Mike Solon, next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as you know, we are 1 week away from D-Day, the deadline, when Seattle cops, King County sheriffs, deputies and detectives, a lot of frontline workers, firefighters, paramedics, if they're not vaccinated, Jay Inslee, Dow Constein, Jenny Durkin, they all say that they will be fired. Mike Solon is the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Mike, always great to talk with you, sir.
Hey, Dory. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, how dire is this? Because I'm telling you, Mike, I'm hearing from Seattle cops, I'm hearing from King County Sheriff's deputies, and they say that this is going to be just a criminal free-for-all if we indeed eliminate all the cops that they're threatening to fire. What is it from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
This is about just saving jobs, period. And as you know, Dory, we've had many conversations ever since the Chaz chop. We've lost close to 350 cops because we're literally politically betrayed by our elected officials. Even though, let's just say we lose 50 cops, even if we just lose one, it's devastating to how many losses we've already incurred. And as you know, crime is completely on the march here in Seattle. The increase in shootings is out of control. And this would be like the running of the bulls with criminals, as there won't be any cops left if we lose the amount of people that has been highlighted in media stories. And I'm not sure how we answer those 911 calls. No. This is an alarmist, but this is reality here. And many of the people that I represent are just fed up. And this is the last straw with them, as they feel that they've been targeted for just being cops here in the city, as they think that this mandate has been politicized and there's not much more trust in our elected officials anymore. And I'm just fearful that this is another blow where we just lose quality people to do the job of policing.
Well, so is this about the vaccine, or is this, from your members' standpoint, about politics? Because I'm getting two messages here. One is that people don't want to get vaccinated for either medical or religious reasons or whatever else. But you're telling me this is also about a political stand that you're taking. Well, so which is it?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, this is not, I mean, in our opinion, it's not about vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. We're simply, the politics of this is simply standing in the breach to block against any form of segregation. And our people feel as if just the profession of policing, the possible removal of officers, is another blow politically against them, because for 18 months, these officers have answered that 911 call during the pandemic, utilizing masks and social distancing when they can, to the point where they were discouraged from getting the vaccine when it was voluntary months ago, because the King County Public Health said on the tier of who should get the vaccines first, firefighters were first and police were second. And the optics of police jumping the line to get a vaccine was problematic for the city, and we were told not to get it. Now, fast forward 18 months later, those same officers who could not work from home during the pandemic are now being told that they're no longer needed if they don't get this vaccine. Mind you, Dory, 85% of our populace is vaccinated. So I've heard from many people, if it was okay for us to work during 18 months, we could not work from home. We were told not to get the vaccine. Now we can't work without the vaccine for fear of infecting other people, when we have a low transmittal rate in our membership. To me, what I hear is that this is indeed is a politicalization of just their jobs and another attempt to push for defunding by removing police jobs. As you know, there's a $15 million salary, what would you say, savings account now to continue alternative forms of policing.
Right.
So
right.
These people have just had it.
So what I'm hearing, Mike, is, and look, clearly there is a war on cops in political circles. Most of
a
the
new
Seattle
report
City
from
Council,
the city of Seattle,
for whatever reason, seems to hate police officers. So what you're saying is, because you were not tier one for very political reasons, because they couldn't be there couldn't be the appearance that they were moving cops to the front of the line. So now are some officers just refusing to get the vax to rebut that political statement that the council made at the very beginning of vaccinations?
Well, to answer your question more poignantly from your previous, is that's what I hear. That's some aspects of the people that haven't uploaded their vaccine into the city's portal. So it's a combination of being told to get it, obviously now, where before they were told not to go get it. The combination of people that believe in vaccination, people that believe in unvaccinated as solidarity with one another, sick of the segregation, the divisiveness in our society, and just the political betrayal from our elected officials. This is a accumulation of all of that sentiment, and I think it's coming to a crescendo in this next week. And if you noticed, the city hasn't uploaded or notified the media of the numbers, at least that I know of, because I think that they realize the optics of that was problematic, as our community is really scared about losing more cops.
So what are the numbers? Can you tell me what the numbers are? How many have not given proof of vaccination? Because I've been hearing as many as 200. Is that accurate?
Well, we were told that we would receive a countdown every day. And we haven't received any information since Wednesday. So I don't know where we stand. I have no doubt that those numbers have fallen. People, you know, at the last minute will upload some of their vaccine verifications. But we could stand to lose a lot of cops in this next week.
Is it fair to say that there are an awful lot of police officers who are vaccinated, but they are just waiting until the last day to show their proof of vaccination to give you leverage?
I've heard that sentiment. It wouldn't be something that the union is proactively messaging to our people. All we've said along all the time is we have to notify our members of when the last day to upload your vaccination is. And that's in an effort to save everyone's jobs and to try to stick together here as a strong union to not allow politics to divide us, meaning vaccinated versus the unvaccinated.
Okay, but so let me ask this then. So are there cops who are vaccinated who, when the deadline comes, may not show their proof of vaccination and risk their own jobs in order to show solidarity?
Yes, that's what I've been told, Dort.
Really? So they're willing to walk away from this job just to show solidarity with their brothers and sisters who are not vaccinated, even if they've been vaccinated?
Yeah, Dort, because what this is what we've experienced, what we've had been experiencing for quite a long time, years, is the attack on police. And now you see the transition from our elected officials and the activist class. They want to cancel police unions. And this is the last straw. And that's why I say this is so profound and how naive this mandate is, that cops have just had enough. And the brotherhood, the sisterhood is still here. And some people are willing to walk away from the job just to show solidarity to their fellow brothers and sisters because they're so tired of the division and the all-out assault against police.
And so real quick, Mike, we only have a few moments left. So would they walk away with the intent of filing a lawsuit that'll get them their jobs back? Or are they going to walk away and find a lateral position elsewhere?
I'm not sure, Dory. I don't know the number, how many people exist like that, but I've heard from several that have that feeling.
Interesting. All right. Mike Solon, the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. I always appreciate your time, Mike. Thank you.
You bet, Dory. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. All right. And I'd love to hear what you think about all this. You can text me. Our new text line, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Getting lots of text messages. New text line is 888-973-CHIRO from the 206. Why can't the police officers just get the vaccine? The pharmacy doesn't ask what you do for a living. I'm on their side, but they individually could go. Yeah, they can. I mean, certainly most police officers have gotten the vaccine. But the point is that I've been trying to make is even though I think the vaccine's a good idea, I don't think government should be able to tell us what we must inject into our body. And as we talked about in the noon hour, just because you're okay with the vaccine mandate, what happens when they mandate something you're not okay with and that you don't want to do? And just because this is somewhat popular, the vaccine mandate and having to show the vaccination proof when you go to a restaurant or a bar, it's somewhat popular. But what happens when they tell you you must do something? And we're certainly seeing this now with our free speech, that if you don't talk the way that some government employees are mandating, then you'll be canceled. I'll have more to tell you about that story in the next few days, I think. But not that I'm going to be canceled. Not me. Did I mention we have the highest rated local news talk show in the United States of America? Okay, so what other industries are going to be hurt by this? Well, I just saw a story that they are already way down on high school football and basketball officials and referees. And now if you add in whatever percentage don't have the vaccine and the mandate, they might not be able to staff high school and middle school sporting events. Bus drivers. There is expected to be such a bus driver shortage that a lot of kids are going to lose bus service. According to news partners at Cairo 7, Seattle may lose 100 school bus drivers.
In an email sent late Friday, the district said it may lose up to 100 drivers to the vaccine mandate. That means it may have to cut two-thirds of the bus routes for general education kids. Special ed kids will get priority, and working-class neighborhoods may be hit the hardest.
Well, working-class will definitely be hit the hardest. And think about this. Kids walking to school, it's far more dangerous for the kids because they're going through intersections. There's always danger of them being hit by a vehicle. And so politicians are going to make the kids' lives far more dangerous by making them walk to school because they want to prove a point about firing school bus drivers. And that's where so little of this makes sense to me. How about you? Text me, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. We're going to check the news. And then, congressional candidate Joe Kent, he was just canceled by a major social media outlet. We'll talk to him live next on the Dory Monson Show.